The Gaundy and Maz Show.
Oh, Maz, you missed out on potentially the greatest day of your life.
If I did get to meet the Queen when I was six, which I was supposed to, but I had a bout of gastro, so I couldn't go. Bummer. This is what I would have said to Queenie. I would have said, wait, what do you don't say hello, do you? You go,
Your Majesty?
You go, I would say, hello, Your Royal Highness. What a pleasure meeting you, or something like that.
Do you have to put on the British accent as well?
I grew up in England. I had a British accent. Yeah, I was a pomp.
Yeah, right.
I am a pomp. Proud pomp. So I would have been like, wait, let me do it again. I'd go, good morning, Your Highness. Wait, Your Royal Highness? Shit, this is hard.
Well, didn't they tell you? I thought you
did a big
thing. Yeah,
it's like 100 years ago.
They ran through what you have to say and then the gastro hit.
Hello, Your Majesty. I don't know.
I think that's pretty spot on.
Thanks. Yeah. Well, I'm glad I practiced it and I'm never going to meet her because she's probably going to die soon because she's a billion years old.
Well, look, you missed that opportunity. But one of our callers said it was the greatest day of her life meeting the Queen.
Like legit met, had a chat with.
Yeah.
And the Queen would be really good at small talk. I hate small talk.
Yeah.
I'm terrible at it. I'm really, really bad and just slightly awkward in those social situations. So maybe it's best that I didn't meet her.
I've heard she's lovely, the Queen. I've heard she's got a lot of time for us commoners, us common folk.
Yeah, the peasants.
Us peasants.
Yeah, well, you know, while we're on the topic, like, let's get out of the Commonwealth. Let's become a republic.
Yeah.
Like, screw this.
Who would be our president? Shannon Knoll.
Gladys Berejiklian.
Oh, yeah?
Gladys Berejiklian for president.
For president of Australia.
Yes! Wow.
You heard it here first.
That should happen.
Yes.
Yes, stuff the Queen. I never met her.
Stuff the Queen. Enjoy the podcast. So I went and saw Space Jam 2 at the movies over the weekend.
And did you, was it everything that you thought it was going to be?
I absolutely loved it.
Yes.
It was so good. It was like a trip down memory lane.
I'm so glad.
Bugs Bunny on the TV. I think they did a really good job with it. Anyone that was super hard on it. You got to keep in mind, it's a kid's movie.
This is true.
And even the first one with Michael Jordan was a kid's movie. And even if you look up reviews of the original one, it cops bad reviews. But
it's
I love LeBron. I love Space Jam. And I absolutely love the movie. Here's a bit of the trailer.
What'd you do to my son? Where's Dom?
The only way you're getting your son back is if you and I play a little basketball. Pete, send this clown to the rejects.
Wait. What is this? I'm a cartoon?
What's up, Doc?
So good.
What's not to love about a basketball superstar, some Looney Tunes characters, and space? Like, what a winning combination.
Exactly.
You cannot get that wrong.
I thought people have been way too hard on this movie. I was beaming. I was loving it.
I'm so glad that you liked it.
I did go to the movies by myself. And
let's unpack that another day.
Yeah. I'm a solo movie guy. I'm happy to go see a movie by myself. But with a kids movie, it's interesting though, because there was like families with kids and then in rolls this guy that just has come to see Space Jam 2.
And you're now in the age bracket where that's
a bit strange. I know, but I was like oh.
You're the guy that walks into the cinema by himself with a baseball cap on to see a kids movie, it's a bit weird now.
But what saved me, which we'll talk about another time, two older guys rocked in together and they came and watched, and I was like, oh, thank God.
But at least they were together.
Yeah, it was just me.
You were by yourself.
Jamie had no interest in Space Jam 2, but mid-movie, the popcorn. I love movie popcorn, but super salty. I forgot how salty that popcorn is. And mid-movie, I thought, I need a Choc Top to sort of get the salt out of my mouth.
I need a Choc Top.
Need.
Yeah.
A Choc Top's going to save me
here.
So I'm waiting for the right part of the movie. I wait for, like, LeBron and his son and find out how they get into this world. And then he starts picking his basketball team. And I'm like, okay, well, this is very similar to the first one. I know he's going to pick the Looney Tunes. And then they're going to play the game.
Great.
So this is pre the big game to save the world. I thought, okay, now is my opportunity to duck out of the cinema and get out and get back in real quick.
I love how much thought you put into the timing of the Choc Top run.
I have to. I don't want to miss the best part of the movie.
You're brilliant.
So I'm waiting for the right moment. I found the right moment. I get out of the cinema. I leg it down to where the candy bar is, and the doors that I walk through to get to the movie are shut. They're closed. And on the back of the door, it said, "This is set off with an alarm. Do not obstruct. You will be fine."
Oh, it's like an emergency exit scenario.
So many signs.
Chop Top is an emergency.
Absolutely. I actually thought, oh, surely the alarm's fake. I'll have a crack. And I thought, no, I won't do that. So I go to the back exit. I go down the stairs. I go around to the front of the cinema. I'm thinking, this is taking way too long for a Chop Top. I get to the front of the cinema. It's locked. The cinema has shut. There's no night sessions.
Well, they do that. Like, they close. Once you get into the movie, so people just don't wander in willy-nilly. They close the doors until the movie's finished.
This was an afternoon session, and I just assume there's night sessions to come, 6, 7 o'clock. That's pretty standard for movies. Just the afternoon session. So I'm locked out the front.
Great.
I'm thinking, oh, man, the cinema's shut. What am I going to do? I go back around to the exit where I came out of. That's locked, so I can't get back in.
Great. This is awesome. Meanwhile, yeah. LeBron and Bugs Bunny are slam dunking.
Yes. I'm missing out on the best part of the movie here. So I'm starting to stress. And there's a little shop right near the exit of the cinema. And I go to the lady. I said, oh, look, I'm so sorry to bother you. You've probably had this all this week, but I'm locked out of the cinema. I just went to go get myself a Choc Top. She says, I can't help you.
No.
I said, what do you mean? I said, all my stuff is in the cinema.
And you didn't have a cinema buddy?
No cinema buddy.
It's just there.
It's all spread out across the seats, all my stuff. And I got to see how the movie ends. LeBron is about to save the world. And finally, I talked her into it. Reluctantly, she did open the door for me, and I had to show her my ticket, and she let me back in. And then I get back to the game for Space Jam 2, and the game had just finished.
Oh, so you missed like the best bit of the movie.
Yes, but I caught the end. I caught the very end after the game, which is good.
Okay.
But I might have to go back and see it again.
You're going to have to go and watch it again because that's like the crescendo of the movie is the actual basketball game.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that is the whole gist.
That because you needed a Choc Top.
I needed that Choc Top. But look, locked out, locked in. This is what I want to focus on this morning on 131060.
Locked out of the movies during the best bit of Space Jam 2.
Killer.
That's your story.
But look, it happens to the best of us. Have you been locked out or have you been locked in? And what happened? Where were you? You know, it happens in hotel rooms.
Oh, yeah.
It happens at home.
I've been locked in a garbage room.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I was staying with a mate of mine and the garbage room was in the basement where the car park is. And we'd had a really nice seafood dinner, so I had a bag of prawn shells and I'd left them in the freezer overnight. And I was like, as I'm exiting the car park, I'll leave the car running, I'll race around, chuck the prawn shells into the garbage bin in the garbage room, race back out, see you later, bye. And I like raced into the garbage room. I put the prawn shells in the bin and the door shut. And I didn't have a key.
Oh.
And so I was locked in this garbage room with my car running. I've been locked outside the room.
What a place to get stuck to.
I had
a garbage room.
The biggest panic attack. Oh. I was like, I'm going to die in here. And the story that they'll tell at my funeral is that I was getting rid of dirty prawn shells. Anyway.
Maz from MTV dies in garbage room.
Dies in garbage room.
That's good.
Oh, what a headline. Anyway, on a second inspection around the room, I realized there was another door on the opposite wall let me outside. And then I had a swipe pass to get back in the building. So it was actually okay.
Well done.
But good 2 minute heart attack in there.
Oh, yeah.
It's terrifying.
Yeah. Your mind starts to race. Is this the end?
Could this be it for me?
Let's go to Kylie on 131060. Locked out or locked in, Kyles?
Ah, good morning. I was locked out of my apartment. I had the flu really, really badly and I was feeling miserable. I had no shoes on and just crappy clothes, no bra. And I just went to go out my apartment door and put some rubbish. We had a garbage chute and I just wasn't thinking and went out and my door was closing. It was like happening in slow motion. I realised I had no keys and the door closed. I was like, no. That was it. I was stuck out there and I had to call a locksmith. It was pouring rain. I had to walk 2 blocks to the security office and and I was locked out for 4 hours waiting for a
See what happens when you put the garbage out. I'm just saying, there's two stories there about putting the garbage out and it turning into a disaster.
What did you do for 4 hours?
I was so sick, I just sat in the gutter out the front of my apartment.
Honey, that's bad.
Why has this happened to me?
In your pajamas with no shoes on in the gutter.
All right, Linda on 13 10 60, locked out or locked in?
I was locked into an old fort in the northern part of Italy.
Ooh, that sounds exciting.
This is fantastic. There's no garbage chute.
No.
Yeah, no, it was picturesque, but it was kind of freaky not knowing if they were going to come back that day and let me out or not. It was borderline winter, so it was getting cool. I decided to sightsee up into this old fort. I went up onto the top turrets, and it's like a 10-metre drop from them.
Oh.
I'd been up there for a while, I was on my own, I'm kind of short and apparently quiet, so I go down and across the entrance, there's a chain link fence, like a proper solidly built one, but the chain link that was locking the fence, the links themselves were a centimetre in diameter, so there's no possible way of trying to break out. It took about 2.5 hours to 3 hours before the gentleman who was meant to be working, they decided to bother coming back from his lunch break. But at that time, in the south of Italy, they often don't return on a Sunday from their lunch break. So, and I was over there studying. So it was a bit of an eventful experience.
Hang on, so if he didn't come back, how long would you have been shut in there for?
I would have been calling the police, the Carabinieri, and hoping they would break me out.
Oh, my God.
I was very close to doing that because when it was meant to reopen, it had rolled around and he wasn't back.
Yeah.
So it was absolutely petrifying to start with. I'm in a foreign country and I'm locked in a place where it's impossible to get out of unless you're pretty much going to take your own life. Because it's a 10-metre drop down the side to get out.
You wouldn't do that. You just wait a couple of days.
Well, no. I was in there going, what do I do?
Hey, Linda.
Yes?
What were you studying?
I was studying Montessori teaching. I'm a primary teacher.
Okay.
So it wasn't anything I was prepared for.
No, I bet not. Isn't it great laughing at other people's misfortune? Isn't that a bit of fun? How would you describe our mate Jaben to people that have never heard him on this show before?
He is a lovely guy who is hopeless at life.
Yeah.
And bless him, he tries his hardest, but he always finds himself in an odd situation. No matter how hard he tries to be a normal person, he's just not.
He's got his work life together somehow, but his personal life is a shambles.
It really is. Bless him.
We get him on weekly for this.
Jaben! What you doing?
The Wolf of West Street, our favourite fool, is back on air with us. Missed you, buddy.
Hey.
Oh, g'day, guys.
How are you going?
Doing all right, you know.
What are you in trouble for this week?
Well, let me jump in here, Maz.
Oh,
I'm
going
to jump in here, guys. I feel like we need to discuss this. Jabes?
Yep.
A message from you.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Just expose me. That's cool.
So Jaben says, I said, mate, can we get you on for this segment? He's like, oh, yeah. Sorry, man. I just had stuff to urgently do in the office.
Oh, as if.
But also, and this is how he left his message, but also, I somehow have gout.
What?
What is...
Do you actually?
Cool. I don't know why, because I don't drink, man. So you drink more than me. And
me?
Yeah, I know, and you don't at all.
I've not had a drink for 7 years.
That was the joke. The other night, I just woke up and I'm like, oh, it's a bit sore. And then next day, like, buckled. Like, and I don't know what's going on.
Explain gout to me, because I know the term. I know it sounds painful, but what is it?
Yeah, it's normally reserved for those that drink about 50 beers a day.
Right.
So it's the knuckle of the big toe just essentially swells up and is crazy painful. So that's me today for no reason. But they did say like there's some other things that sort of tick it off, which is, do you eat too much tomato? Like, not really.
Oh, tomato sets off gout.
Yeah, apparently, yeah. But I don't know. I'm about to try and go get some help with it, but that's cool. Yeah.
Got to be honest, man. It sounds like the beginning of the end, and it sounds like an old person injury, gout.
No, but look, it normally is reserved for those that are on the northern end of the age
bracket.
Can I just read this from Dr. Google?
Yeah.
It says patients with chronic gout.
It's a funny word, gout.
Can
it's
you?
The worst word.
It's so bad.
It's a horrible word.
Here
it's
we
funny.
Go. James, I'm going to help you out, buddy. Patients with chronic gout can use behavioral. Oh my god, I can't say it. Modifications such as diet, exercise, and decreased intake of alcohol to help minimize the frequency of attacks and symptoms.
Okay. All right,
out of those three, how much are you focusing on your diet? I don't know, we had fish and chips the other day, so probably not a lot because you smashed a burger, you inhaled that thing.
Yeah, that's how I roll. But no, look, the diet's definitely gone out the window with lockdown. I'm like, well, if I'm not allowed to have fun, I'm having my own fun with whatever I want in the pantry.
You're not exercising from the looks of you on the weekend.
Well, what's crazy is we haven't been, obviously, to the gym in forever because they've been locked down. So F45 went back for the first day. Crazy the night before, decides to just flare up. So then the first day I sort of had a sore foot there and I wasn't doing much anyway. and then next day, blown out, gone, can't walk, see you later.
You can't walk.
So that's it,
well,
you're off.
It's very weird. Like if you saw me, you'd like, that guy needs to stay home.
It's that bad.
I think that. Yeah, it's crazy. I see you in
last,
public.
Last time I had this, weirdly.
Last time?
It's the second time. The first time was like years ago at R&B Fridays.
Nothing says R&B like getting around the festival with gout.
Yeah. And I was like, this is horrendous. Remember the one that went with Usher, that one? And I'm like, I'm trying to hop around the back of R&B Fridays like I'd need surgery. And that was the last time I had it. And then just randomly, it just is a surprise attack. It goes, hey, man, just you enjoy your day. No, I'm about to ruin it. And then just like takes you right out. And I those barflies will know what I'm talking about, but mine's not from excessive booze.
Well, if anyone has some gout tips for Jaben, please. This is where we're at with Jabes.
Like, it's legitimately too much of a particular acid in your body, which is only found in the food that you eat or alcohol. So this is a 100% lifestyle disease that you've developed.
Gout definitely doesn't scream, I've got my life together.
No, it screams too many Macca's cheesies.
That's all we got time for this week. Thanks, James.
God. Oh, no worries.
Bit of gout chat.
Leave me there.
What a moment to miss yesterday.
I know, mate.
What a moment.
I feel for you.
Jono, he collected $1,000 and then made his way to $1 million day in Alpha Bucks, and it was a big moment to miss. He was super excited.
Something that people hate.
Anxiety.
Hold, stop. Yes.
You're up to $1 million now.
Say, I got you, baby.
I don't even know.
I got you, baby.
It was just a moment that you get swept away in those moments. It was so amazing.
If I could go back in time, I'd love to be there to be part of it for Jono. But I mean, it's not as big as what you missed from being sick, right?
Yeah. When I was a kid, I got selected because I grew up in England. So I went to Sandown Primary School and they selected a couple of kids to meet the Queen. And on the day that I was meant to meet the Queen, I had the bum vomits and had to go to hospital. And it was terrible.
Couldn't hide it. And then, I mean, potentially giving the Queen gastro. But if you gave the Queen gastro.
Can you imagine if I was the kid that gave the Queen the bum vomits? Oh, no.
It's a funny thought to think that she would have had gastro at some point in her life, you know? She's human. The Queen has had gastro at some point.
She probably has.
We're going to chat to some people that have actually met the Queen
allegedly.
In just a sec. Because we've slowly gotten there. We want to talk to some people that have actually met the Queen to see what you missed out on. But we're also chatting to people who have missed big things off the back of being sick. And Erin, what did you miss?
I missed Elton John's last concert.
Oh. No! What happened? happened, Erin? Oh, no.
It was last year, right when COVID was just starting to come out, and I had to go to hospital to get tested for COVID, but turned out I had influenza.
Oh, dang it.
Can I just say, I don't want to rub any salt in the wounds here, Erin, but it was one of the best live shows I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Oh, my husband's telling me.
Well, I just have to be honest with you. And it was one of the last live shows we got to see before everything got shut down as well. And, oh, Erin, I don't think he's ever coming back. I think this is it, right?
He's never touring again ever. It's Elton John. He might.
I'd like to get there one day.
It was his goodbye tour. I know he postponed a bunch of UK dates. So maybe as the world opens up again, Erin can go to the UK and catch him before he goes. Wouldn't
Fingers
that be
crossed
nice?
For you, Erin. I'm still holding out hope that I'll get to meet Queenie before she, you know.
Carks it.
Yeah.
Well, let's chat to Glenn. Glenn has received a letter from the Queen.
Oh, hi, Glenn.
Hi, how are you going?
Good, mate. Man. What did the Queenie give you a letter for?
Oh, it's actually my birthday. So she's born on the 21st of April, but she celebrated in June or July. And she sent me out an actual letter with her actual signature. Well, probably someone else that signed it, but you know the way it goes over there.
Yeah,
it's a
yeah.
birthday card?
Yeah, like a birthday card, you might as well say, from the Queen.
Was it a milestone birthday or just like a regular birthday?
Just the day that I was born on her birthday, that's all it was. I've never received anything else.
So if there's any babies born in the Commonwealth on the same day, does she send out a letter to say, hey, congrats, we share a birthday?
Oh, mate, I couldn't tell you the honest truth. I wouldn't have the slightest idea.
Are you sure it's from the Queen?
Yeah, well, it's not from Freddie Mercury, but, the Queen will do. I'd rather Freddie Mercury.
I'd take one or the other. I'd take either one of those. Well, there you go. Well, there's someone who has a letter from the Queen, but let's chat to someone who's actually met the Queen. Kim, good morning.
Hi there.
Hi, Kim. When did you meet the Queen?
Well, back in 2017, my husband and I were living in the UK at the time, and through his work, the Lord Chamberlain officially invited him, due to the work he used to do, to one of her annual garden parties.
What did your husband used to do? Was he in the Secret Service or something?
No, not quite. No, he worked in aerospace and defence, so they did work for the military over there.
Yeah, Secret Service.
So we were lucky to go along, and it was the most perfect summer, sunny day, Buckingham Palace. The whole moment from the invitation to being received at the gate, we were let in while everybody else was outside watching us go in. We felt very special.
And so did you actually meet her? Like you met, you shook her hand, you did the curtsy?
Yep, the whole lot. So my husband, out of 8,000 people, knew what to do. He eyed one of her staff down, started a conversation, and we were asked, would we like to be presented to Her Majesty? Of course we said yes. So we did, and it was the best thing ever. Briefing, like you said earlier, on the whole curtsy, saying ma'am, it was all very formal, and it was very nerve-wracking, but what an amazing experience. And it goes down as the best thing I've ever done apart from marrying my husband.
Wow.
Best thing, best day of her life.
That's
that you
amazing.
Missed out on there.
I'm so jealous.
What does the Queen smell like?
Well, I didn't smell her, but you know what? It was amazing just taking in the fact that this lady is Her Majesty the Queen. And she was with us for about 3 minutes. So she doesn't rush you. She treats you as if you were President Obama. It doesn't matter. She treats everybody exactly the same. It's just amazing.
What did you talk about? Did you have just a chat?
Yeah, she's very good at that. She knows how to lead the conversation. So, and you're just so dumbstruck. You just let her lead. But she starts with started with my husband and his work, and then she moved to me. And the way she brought me in was it must be challenging with all the travels he does for his job. And she was just very down to earth. And she asked me what I liked about the UK compared to living in Australia. So we started talking about our comparisons. And then the good old chat about the weather came in.
God, she sounds like a lonely old lady just banging on. Like, God, wrap it up, Queen. We've got a party to attend.
Yay! It's time for Toddler Tales.
Okay, 131060 is our number. We're taking your calls on your toddler tales. So what have your little ones gotten up to that's made you laugh or cry? Sometimes you don't really know which emotion to express in these situations. Bonnie is through. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good, hun. What's your toddler tale today?
Okay, so my toddler tale is actually about myself. So when I was about 3 or 4 years old, my mum asked her friend, who is still childless, to mind me for just a few hours. So it'll be fine, just take me to have something to eat, take me to McDonald's, I'll play in the playground, eat. So they've taken me to McDonald's. She's put me up on the cash register.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with Home Alone at the time. So she's put me up on the cash register, got the money out to pay the cashier. I've looked the poor cashier dead in the eye and told her to keep the change, you filthy animal.
Yes, that is the poor thing.
Love that.
So she's still childless, mum's friend, after all of that.
Not your fault. Bonnie,
you blame her?
Did the cashier, did they get the reference to Home Alone?
I don't think so. So I was about 3 or 4 at the time. So the movie was about 3 years old already. So,
oh,
so she was absolutely mortified, mum said, and they still never let me live it down.
Oh, it's great. That's exactly what Toddler Tales is, hey.
It is one of the all-time classic movie lines, isn't it? So you took your opportunity there.
So good.
131060 with your Toddler Tales this morning, guys. They're coming through. $500 at the Iconic for our Caller of the Week on Friday, which would take care of your Chrissy shopping,
yeah,
for sure.
I'm really glad that Bonnie wasn't obsessed with Die Hard, because there are some quotes from that movie that could have gone in a really, really dark place real quick.
Yippee-ki-yay, mother.
Kerry has called through. Hi, Kerry.
Hi, how you going?
Good, babe. What is your toddler tale today?
Okay, so this is about my daughter that was 2 at the time. My husband, went to Kmart, thought he would buy her a nice present, comes home with a drone.
Classic.
It's just what she would want.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Right. Yep. I kind of looked at him and I said, what do you think she's going to do with that? And he's like, she's going to love this. So he gets it out, gives her full control of the remote control, has not shown her how to do this whatsoever, up in the kitchen, and next minute, he drops an F-bomb, and I'm thinking, what has happened? I walk out of the kitchen, and she has flown the drone straight into her long, blonde, beautiful hair.
Oh, no.
And she just kept going with the controller, so it's just going in her hair, and it's getting tighter and tighter and tighter, and he's looking at me, and I just cracked myself laughing, and I'm thinking, and I've got my phone and I'm taking photos like, this is the best moment ever. Payback's a B-I-T-C-H. Because he has not lived this moment down at all. And she's 7. So every time he goes to the shop and he's like, oh, you want to get a drone? I'm like, remember last time?
Kerry, while you grabbed your phone and filmed the moment, did you manage to get the drone out of your daughter's hair?
After I was loving the moment of taking the photos.
Got to get it on socials.
Oh, well, that's what I thought. And I was like, he's never living this down. I'm always going to say, remember that time? I had to cut it out of her hair. It wasn't the greatest. So she had long, nice, blonde, beautiful hair on one side.
And a big
on
chunk
the other side.
Out of the other.
Bob.
When you said she kept going with the drone, I pictured her, like the drone picking her up and flying her off. Like she was so light that the drone just picked her up and away she went.
That's possible.
Is that possible with a kid?
Yeah, surely it is.
That's the image I had in my head.
That's gold.
131060 if you've got any toddler tales this morning.
I'm glad she's okay.
Yeah, 100%.
To Leah, good morning.
Hi, how's it going?
Oh, so good, babe. What is your toddler tale today?
So my brother, my oldest brother, so I wasn't born at the time, but my parents tell this story quite often.
Great.
So pretty much I was teaching him some responsibility with our dog at the time, and they were calling out to my brothers at dinner time, my oldest brother, can you go? And tie the dog up outside so he doesn't come in while we're eating.
Sure.
So he goes and ties the dog up outside. They all come in and eat dinner. And our parents like, oh, we better go get the dog. Dinner's all done, wash up, all done. And then they went outside and they found that the dog was hog-tied to the clothesline.
So what's...
Wait, what's hog-tied?
Yeah, what's hog-tied?
So hog-tied is that the front paws and the back paws were tied up. So the dog was lying on its side.
Oh, my God.
How does a four-year-old know how to do that?
I think it was four or five at the time. We have no idea where he got it from or how. But
it's got to be a cartoon. He's seen it on a cartoon or something like that, and he just made the association. That's what tying the dog up outside means. It's what they do in the cartoon, surely.
Roadrunner.
Oh, it sounds like a Roadrunner thing, doesn't it?
Yeah.
They hog tie the other animal. What's the other one that is always running away from the Roadrunner? The Roadrunner's running.
Yeah, little meep meep thing.
Yeah, that's the Roadrunner.
Oh, that's the Roadrunner. Meep, meep.
The other one.
The coyote. Yes.
Hog tie the coyote over a rock, and then and then a tank falls on it. But somehow the coyote always escapes. Yeah. It's mind blowing that cartoon.
Either
my parents didn't get him to tie the dog up again.
Oh, yeah, I bet. Yeah.
Either that, or you've been watching too many true crime docos as well. You know what I mean?
At four.
Yeah. Well, the parents might have it on. You never know what you take on.
That's a wrap for Gondi and Maz. Make sure to follow Hit New South Wales Breakfast on Facebook and Instagram to get even more of that fun feeling. You can even leave a review for the show and tell us what you think. It's